I'm VOA's Joe Ramsey with your worldwide news update. U.S. President Joe Biden on Thursday urged Americans to accept the results of Tuesday's presidential election, in which former President Donald Trump defeated Biden's pick, Vice President Kamala Harris. VOA White House correspondent Anita Powell reports.
President Biden on Thursday promised a smooth transition for his successor, who was also his predecessor, President-elect Donald Trump. He also encouraged unity after the defeat of his preferred candidate, Vice President Kamala Harris.
The people vote and choose their own leaders, and they do it peacefully. And we're in a democracy. The will of the people always prevails.
Trump, in his victory speech a day earlier, also emphasized unity, as he noted the clear rightward shifts among voters that gave him a comfortable win.
They came from all quarters, union, non-union, African-American, Hispanic-American, Asian-American, Arab-American, Muslim-American.
4 years earlier, Trump refused to accept his election loss to Biden. He stood by while an angry mob of his supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol while the election was being certified on January 6, 2021. Biden on Thursday drew a contrast.
We accept the choice the country made. I've said many times, you can't love your country only when you win. You can't love your neighbor only when you agree.
Biden also said he hoped to put to rest questions about the integrity of the American electoral system.
It is honest, it is fair, and it is transparent. And it can be trusted. Win or lose.
Trump's second inauguration happens January 20th, 2025. Anita Powell, VOA News, the White House.
This is VOA News. Around 50 European leaders on Thursday called for a stronger defense posture across the continent that no longer necessitates a fundamental dependence on Washington as they gave a guarded welcome to U.S. President-elect Donald Trump. AP correspondent Karen Chamas reports.
French President Emmanuel Macron has said that Europe should not remain static in the face of China and the U.S. and urged his counterparts to take action to ensure that Europe becomes a fully independent power. Speaking at a European political community summit in Budapest, Macron said the world was made of two blocs, the United States of America on one side and China on the other, both of which, he said, above all, seek their own interests. He added, both decide to be much less, if I may say so, complacent with international rules, or in any case, respectful of them. Macron went on to say the world was made up of herbivores and carnivores, adding, if we decide to remain herbivores, carnivores will win and we will be a market for them. He suggested instead for European nations to choose to be at least omnivores, choosing not to be aggressive but able to defend themselves. I'm Karen Chamas.
Israel's parliament has passed a law that would allow it to deport family members of Palestinian attackers to the war-ravaged Gaza Strip or other locations. The law passed on Thursday was championed by members of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's political party and his far-right allies. The law was passed with a 61-41 vote, but is likely to be challenged in court. Among the 12 non-French skippers starting the 10th edition of the Vendee Globe on Sunday will be the first Chinese sailor to embark on the around-the-world non-stop solo race despite losing his left arm at the age of 12. Reuters correspondent Vita Chan reports.
Xu Jingkun is set to become the first Chinese sailor to compete in the Vendee Globe, a non-stop solo around-the-world race. He was not always destined to sail the oceans. The son of modest farmers, he lost his arm up to the elbow at the age of 12 after an accident during a fireworks display. A former track and field athlete, he chose sailing over running and cycling. Xu says he's learned to overcome what he refers to as his shortcomings.
It has allowed me to gain more, to acquire more strength, and to become more resilient.
The 35-year-old also aims to use his growing popularity to promote the development of the sport in China.
Reuters correspondent Vita Chan. That wraps up this update, but the world and news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website. I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.
Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Botte in Washington. Today is Friday, November 8th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. President Joe Biden urges unity and acceptance of election results after Trump wins office again.
People vote and choose their own leaders, and they do it peacefully. And we're in a democracy. The will of the people always prevails.
Some Africans are excited at Trump's return to the White House, but others have mixed feelings. We'll have an analysis of how former President Trump pulled off a resounding win across numerous demographics. Former Zambian President Edgar Lungu agreed to be the candidate for the opposition Tonse Alliance in the 2026 election. Post-election protests rocked Mozambique on Thursday.
It's a very tense situation in Mozambique. The protests are all over the country, with a particular focus in the capital, Maputo.
Those stories plus Samson O'Malley Sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. President Joe Biden on Thursday urged Americans to accept the results of Tuesday's presidential election, in which former President Donald Trump defeated Biden's pick, Vice President Kamala Harris. He promised to hand power back to Trump, his predecessor, who had encouraged a violent mob to march on the Capitol as legislators attempted to certify Biden's 2020 victory. VOA White House correspondent Anita Powell reports.
President Joe Biden on Thursday promised a smooth transition for his successor, who was also his predecessor, President-elect Donald Trump. He also encouraged unity after the defeat of his preferred candidate, Vice President Kamala Harris.
The people vote and choose their own leaders, and they do it peacefully. And we're in a democracy. The will of the people always prevails.
Trump, in his victory speech a day earlier, also emphasized unity, as he noted the clear rightward shifts among voters that gave him a comfortable win.
They came from all quarters, union, non-union, African-American, Hispanic-American, Asian-American, Arab-American, Muslim-American. We had everybody, and it was beautiful. It was a historic realignment, uniting citizens of all backgrounds around a common core of common sense.
4 years earlier, Trump refused to accept his election loss to Biden. He stood by while an angry mob of his supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol while the election was being certified on January 6, 2021. Biden on Thursday drew a contrast.
We accept the choice the country made. I've said many times, you can't love your country only when you win. You can't love your neighbor only when you agree.
Biden also said he hoped to put to rest questions about the integrity of the American electoral system.
It is honest, it is fair, and it is transparent, and it can be trusted, win or lose.
Trump's second inauguration happens January 20th, 2025. Anita Powell, VOA News, the White House.
Political polls leading up to this week's U.S. presidential election showed a tight race between former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. But Trump pulled off a resounding win across several demographics, including with men, women, and Latino voters. VOA's Dora McQuarrie looks at how he won.
Polls showed the U.S. presidential race was tight. But Donald Trump drew widespread support and easily defeated Vice President Kamala Harris on November 5th.
They came from all quarters, union, non-union, African-American, Hispanic-American, Asian-American, Arab-American, Muslim-American. We had everybody.
Trump overcame 34 felony convictions for falsifying business records to become the first Republican presidential candidate in 20 years to win the popular vote. Samuel Abrams is a professor of politics and social science at Sarah Lawrence College in New York.
Why some candidates are Teflon covered and others are not, you know, I can't answer the question for you. Why, you know, Donald Trump's record, for instance, of infidelity and problems with some of the criminal stuff has not stuck to him.
What has stuck is the recurring message Trump has communicated to voters for years. Abrams says,
and that is, I hear you. I understand your struggle. I understand that things are not as good as they could be, and I'd like to help you out. I'd like to make it easier.
All right, we're rolling.
Good to see you.
Trump's campaign targeted key audiences, often through podcasts and social media, that drew millions of views. Tom Riley is a professor at the School of Public Affairs at Arizona State University.
They targeted young men. They targeted those that didn't vote. They targeted those individuals that have struggled under the last several years of inflation, and that's paid off.
Harris had about 100 days to run her campaign after President Joe Biden withdrew from the race in July. That compressed time frame hurt her chances, Riley says.
And a lot of criticism will go with Biden that he should have stepped out and exited sooner, right? But if he had left earlier, right, 30, 60, 90 days earlier, there would have been a primary. And Harris may not have been the candidate.
Harris was also hampered by her connection to an unpopular president, according to Riley.
It was clear that the American public wanted change. And for many individuals, they saw this as a continuation, for good or bad, of the Biden administration.
Other analysts say Harris focused too much on abortion rights and too little on the economy. Republican strategist Jason Cable.
Far less than 1% of American voters are ever going to have to deal with abortion directly or indirectly. All voters have to deal with inflation.
There's no way to calculate how much, if at all, being a woman of color hurt Harris. Abrams says. Dora McQuarr, VOA News, Washington.
Reactions in Africa to Donald Trump's return to the White House are mixed. Some are excited and eager to see what comes next. Others remember the former president's first term and do not expect much from a new Trump administration regarding Africa. VOA Nairobi Bureau Chief Mariama Diallo has this report.
On the streets of Nairobi, some Kenyans told VOA Donald Trump's victory in the U.S. election was going to be a good thing for Africa.
I'm expecting a lot to see happening between the two countries, economy-wise, maybe exchange programs for students and stuff like that.
Eric Mwenda was rooting for Trump's Democratic opponent, Vice President Kamala Harris.
Because she understands the people. I feel like the other one is a bit too racist. He's very mean.
Kenya was the first African country to be elevated recently to the status of a non-NATO U.S. ally by the Biden administration, which also pledged to contribute $300 million to help Kenyan police lead a multinational force in Haiti. Some analysts say they are worried about what Trump will bring. Edgar Githua is an international relations, diplomacy, and security analyst teaching at Strathmore University in Kenya.
He might start releasing executive orders that will resign, for example, Kenya's designation as a NATO non-major ally. He might just scale down on his support on the Haitian post-conflict reconstruction problem. So the $300 million pledged, I don't know how much has been paid so far. You might just find him, you know, growing cold feet and saying that's not his problem and scaling that down.
He says other policies could also shift depending on the country.
Countries like Uganda will benefit because Trump will not really put pressure on them the way the Biden administration put on them because of their LGBTQ plus stand and discourse. But on the flip side, Russia has made strong inroads into the Sahel region and other parts of Africa. Trump is not going to lift a finger to stop the Russians.
Tom Wolf, an independent researcher and political analyst, attended a watch party organized by Democrats abroad in Nairobi. He said that based on Trump's first term, he doesn't think Trump has interest in promoting democracy and human rights on the continent in general, and Kenya in particular. But on the other hand,
in terms of commercial economic competition and encouragement for developing further connections between American and Kenyan businesses, I would expect that to continue.
Also at the watch party, we spoke with Martha Karua, who was the running mate for opposition leader Raila Odinga in Kenya's 2022 general elections. She's also a former member of parliament and justice minister. She remembers Trump's first term, during which he referred to Africa using degrading language.
I have greater hopes in what we can do for ourselves, but he hasn't made very good comments about Africa calling us names, but it is the responsibility of the leaders in Africa to push for respect and recognition as equal human beings by the partners we work with.
A Trump inauguration is slated for January. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Nairobi.
Donald Trump's victory this week was the topic of discussion across Africa, with many not sure what it could mean for U.S.-Africa relations. Edgar Gitua is an international security and diplomatic expert at the U.S. International University in Nairobi. He tells VOA's Douglas Mpuga that a second Trump administration may pursue a more transactional approach to Africa, emphasizing economic interests over cultural or political issues.
Definitely, we expect there are going to be some changes. Number one, the Democrats' agenda on things like LGBTQ and democratic rights. Trump is definitely not going to put pressure on African countries to safeguard those kinds of rights. So to an extent, that might change. And of course, now there is the issue of Russia in Africa. To an extent, Trump, I don't know whether he's going to actively try and compete or safeguard African countries that are his allies from Russia's incursion into Africa, places like the Sahel, places like some central parts of Africa. So those are some of the things that we're really watching. But overall, Trump will support trade, but he's not going to really care about human rights and all those kinds of things. He's not like the Democrats are the ones who are worried about some of these rights and all these things.
Trump, it will be second time as president. In his last 10 years as president, the relationship between U.S. and Africa seemed to be quite okay.
Yeah, it seems to be okay. And this is his chance of redeeming himself, because during his first term, he made some very bad remarks. He abused the African continent. He talked about the African continent in very unfavorable terms. So this could give him a second chance at redeeming his image with Africa.
And what do you think of issues like AGOA, PEPFAR? Do you think his administration may be different from the current one?
He's going to definitely reduce funding in some of those things. Trump is not big on funding initiatives where he does not see how Americans are benefiting directly. So I see, for example, even him reducing funding to Haiti. Remember, Kenya is in Haiti. So he might reduce funding for such ventures, because according to him, that is not his problem. And he doesn't want Americans to spend their money on things that do not concern them.
Edgar Gitua is an international security and diplomatic expert at the U.S. International University in Nairobi. He spoke with Douglas Mpuga from Nairobi. Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Friday, November 8th. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And still to come on our program, Samson O'Malley Sports. Mozambican police cracked down on opposition supporters protesting in the capital Maputo on Thursday in the biggest demonstration yet against the last month's disputed election. Reporter Charles Manguiro in Maputo spoke with viewers Kate Pound Dawson about Thursday's protest.
It's a very tense situation in Mozambique. The protests are all over the country, with a particular focus in the capital Maputo, where hundreds of people descended to the streets today to protest at what they call the fraudulent elections, which gave victory to the ruling Frelimo Party candidate, Daniel Chapo. So the presidential run-up, Venancio Mondlane, rejected the results, saying that they were fraudulent. He has been calling for nationwide protests. They have been going on for 7 days, but today, the 7th of November, is the day he calls the Freedom Day, whereby he calls that the country is going to get all its rights back to the people. He is saying that the power is within the hands of the people. So the protests have been going on. They became so violent today as the police ran battles with the protesters in Maputo. They were firing tear gas almost everywhere in the capital, Maputo. There are a number of people who have been injured so far, but we don't have an official figure as to how many people were injured. Well, some of the scenes we watched this morning were people looting shops. They are saying that they are hungry, the economy is stuck, nothing is happening since the election, so they resorted to destroying shops and looting them. So police were fighting back using live bullets and tear gas.
In addition to the police cracking down on protesters, I understand the government has taken other steps to try to limit them. Can you explain what's been going on?
One of the measures the government has done so far is that Venancio Mondlane, since he is not allowed space in traditional media, he has resorted to using social media like Facebook and YouTube to speak to his supporters. The government responded by blocking all the social networks like WhatsApp, Facebook, and Instagram. There is no communication at all.
Are more protests expected?
Right. Today is just the seventh day, but according to Mondlane himself, he has promised 25 days of terror. So he has not made an announcement as to what is going to be his next step. What he had promised that was today was going to be the Freedom Day of Mozambique. But in his initial statements, he had promised 25 days of terror from the 19th of October, the day he officially started the protest in Mozambique. We don't know what is going to be his next step. Normally he speaks to his supporters at night via YouTube. We are still waiting for what he's going to do. He has not been seen along the day.
That was journalist Charles Maguiro in the Mozambican capital, Maputo. He was speaking with my colleague, Kit Pound-Dawson. Former Zambian President Edgar Lungu has officially agreed to be the candidate for the opposition Tonse Alliance in the 2026 presidential election. Lungu was president from 2015 to 2021 before he was ousted by current President Hakainde Hichilema. Emmanuel Mwamba is the spokesperson for Zambia's main opposition Patriotic Front Party. He tells me that former President Lungu has vowed to restore constitutional democracy and the rule of law to Zambia.
Today, groups of up to seven political parties came together in a political alliance they called Tonse Alliance. It means togetherness. Now, this alliance comprises some members of civil society, some members of the church, and led by about seven political parties so far. They've invited other opposition political parties to join them, that they should form a united front against President Hakainde Hichilema. They are aware of issues and encumbrances that the current government is trying to place against the former President Edgar Lungu, who they have felt and adopted as their former presidential candidate. And the former president proceeded to accept this offer. And he has said it's not about him. It's not about members of the opposition. It's about the country.
Let's assume the former president gets his way and he has been nominated. Let's say he gets into the ring to contest the 2026 election. What will he be running on?
He stated that he wants to restore democracy, that he wants to help restore the rule of law, and that he wants to remove the dictatorship that President Hakainde Hichilema has fostered on our country. He says there are various crises that the country is facing, load shedding, one of the worst cost of living crises, lack of medicines in hospital, and literally a collapsed economy. And he said the opposition have a duty to front in unity one candidate that then they can help remove President Hakainde Hichilema.
The question that has been hanging around is whether the former president is qualified to run. Your comment?
He's clearly qualified as he was in 2021. He has one term remaining. He is qualified to stand even in the 2026 elections. He is aware that there are various attempts by the current government to try to buy him or to stop him or to exclude him from participating in the 2026 elections. There is currently a petition in the Constitutional Court that attempts to stop him. There will be a ruling that will be delivered on 10th December about his eligibility to participate in the 2026 elections. But these members of the opposition are convinced that President Lungu is entitled, as ruled by the same court four times. It has ruled in the past four times that he's qualified to stand and that they were putting his name as their presidential candidate, and they were calling on other political parties in the opposition to do the same.
Emmanuel Mwamba is the spokesperson for Zambia's main opposition Patriotic Front Party. He was speaking with us from Lusaka. It's time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Friday morning to you, Samson.
Good Friday morning to you too, James. We begin the sport with basketball, where the race for the two tickets on offer for the Basketball Africa League Season 5 appears to be clearer after four teams advanced to the semis and four others saw their Basketball Africa League season come to an end. Liberian champions Mighty Barrow closed their Elite 16 campaign out with a 79-68 triumph over Ghanaian champions Spintex Knights. Malian champions Stade Malien beat Gabon's Monda Basket 79-53 to advance to the semis with a 3-0 advantage. In Thursday's highly anticipated game between Al Ahly Tripoli Sport Club and Kadji Sport Academy, the Libyan champions outclassed the KSA 96-91 to remain as the only undefeated team in the competition with a 5-0 mark ahead of the semis, while the Congolese champions Chow Sports beat host ABC Fighters 88-85 in Thursday's last game to book their place in the semis. In handball news, Nigeria's under-18 men's handball team were crowned champions of the International Handball Federation Trophy Africa Men Continental Phase following their 38-26 victory over Guinea in the final in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Nigeria has thus qualified for the IHF Trophy Intercontinental Phase, which will be played early next year in a yet-to-be-known country where they will represent Africa in the under-18 youth category. In women's football, the Confederation of Africa Football Women's Champions League officially gets underway this weekend with tournament host AS FAR hoping to reenact their historic moment of lifting the CAF Women's Champions League in front of their highly vocal fans. Each of the eight Africa women football clubs participating in the CAF Women's Champions League Morocco 2024 will receive at least $150,000 in prize money. The CAF Women's Champions League is a new competition that was started under the new leadership of the CAF president Patrice Motsepe in 2021, and this year's prize money has increased by 52% to $2.3 million. The winner will receive $600,000. In athletics, Kenya has officially applied to host the 2029 World Athletics Championships. Kenya's Cabinet Secretary for Youth Affairs, Creative Economy and Sports, Kipchumba Mukomen, revealed that all the loopholes that saw Kenya's bid to host the 2025 World Athletics Championships fail will be sealed. Mukomen said they will endeavor to present the best facilities for the championships upon the completion of the ongoing renovations at the Moi International Sports Center, Kasarani, and the Nyoyo National Stadium. Athletics Kenya President Jack Tui said that the application was forwarded to World Athletics in August, who discussed it before accepting the application. That's it for this Friday's edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a nice weekend. And that's it for this Friday, November 8th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending your week with us. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I'm James Barty in Washington, wishing that you will have a great weekend. We'll see you again on Monday morning.
Presents the latest news about Africa and the world in its news summaries. Africa in Brief airs every day at 400, 500 and 600 UTC. Give us 5 minutes of your time to be brought up to date. Africa in Brief, your trusted source for news.
Hello, this is Linor Mudu, host of Health Chat. Join me for the latest in health news, wellness tips, medical breakthroughs, and much more. Our experts inside the United States and beyond will share some insights on living a healthy life. Tuesdays at 17:30, you